This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to the 39th episode of my podcast. My name is Jeroen Leenaerts, and I've been developing iOS apps for over 9 years. And today, again, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to talk about tools that I've been using while podcasting. And I'll just go over the things that I use for podcasting and give you a little bit of insight in why I'm using these tools. And in the show notes, everything is linked up. Do note there are 3 links in there that I have affiliated with. And I will just mention them right at the beginning. So that's an affiliated link for Buzzsprout, Riverside and Agenda. All the other links in my podcast show notes, they are unaffiliated and you can just click on them. And unfortunately, there will be no kickback to me. But the affiliated ones, if you use one of those services, if you start using it after clicking my link, then there will be a small kickback to me, just so you know. So let's just start at the top of my list. There's quite a list of software that I'm actually using while creating my podcast. And the most important one is Hindenburg Journalist Pro. It's a specific audio editor that is tailored to spoken content audio, and all the tooling and all the features that are in there are fully focused on creating the content that I have to create or that I like to create. So, for instance, a podcast, but there's also people that use this software for radio broadcast and other forms of spoken content. Apparently, there's also a version of their software that is fully tailored to creating audiobooks. But that's not my thing. I use Hindenburg Journalist Pro because it's an easy workflow. It's compatible with my environment. And it has direct publishing to the platforms that I'm using while creating my content. So I highly recommend it. It's a bit of an investment, but it's one of the investments that I did right at the start when beginning podcasting. And I have never regretted using this specific tool. There are other free options or other paid options available, but on my selection I went with Hindenburg Journalist Pro because it had like the feature set that is important to me. So that's multi-track editing, some voice sweetening, some audio sweetening, noise reduction, all in the package. And from the reviews that I read, all the filtering and tooling that was available in Hindenburg Journalist Pro is top-notch. Of course, if you create a podcast, you also need episode artwork, and for that I use Pixelmator Pro. Why Pixelmator Pro? Well, it's a relatively affordable image editor that is fully featured and does everything that I need, and it's a native Mac app, and you really can tell that it is created by people that love the Mac, and it's just an awesome tool all around. And next to that, I also use some online services or software. First of all is my podcast hosting, which is Buzzsprout Podcast Hosting. The link for this one is affiliated. And why do I use Buzzsprout? It's convenient. They provide a lot of support, and they're not the cheapest, but yeah, it was so easy to get on board. And I haven't had a need or something that I wanted to go elsewhere. And so far so good. And I expect to stick around with Buzzsprout for a while. Do check them out if you are looking into starting a podcast, because they have great tools available. As you know, a lot of the content on my podcast is actual interviews with other people. And I've used remotely before I switched to riverside.fm, and the reason that I prefer to use like an online platform for my interview recordings is that I want to have the barrier of participation for my guests as low as possible. Also, I want to make sure that the recording quality that I get is of the highest quality within reason. So I don't have to have like really top-notch audio, but I do want to make sure that I am able to capture the WAV format files from each of my guests. And the advantage of using an online platform like Riverside is that you actually have a video link with the person that you're talking to. Also, the audio is recorded locally by the browser of each participant, and this is then in the background uploaded to their platform. But also they have like a backup. If something goes wrong with the local recording, they also have the video and audio available of the session as it was like transmitted or mirrored through their service. So if everything fails, I always will have like the recording and on the quality that I had when I was actually doing the interview in my browser at that moment. I do want to have like the local recordings because the quality is such... the quality is so much higher than compared to the streamed version of the audio, really. So yeah, that's Riverside.fm. I recently switched to them, and yeah, the experience with them is great. Some of you might have actually already seen my Riverside.fm studio, because some of my Monday recordings are recorded live and online. And one of the cool things of Riverside.fm is that you can also stream your session as is to online video platforms. So you can send it to YouTube, Facebook Video, and some other platforms. Another piece of software that I have an affiliate link on that I've mentioned before on Twitter is Agenda Date Focus Note Taking. Because each piece of content that I create takes some time to put together. I have to get like guests, and I have to make sure that that they are scheduled, and I have to make sure that all my notes are like together on a date. So basically, first I create a note on the date that I actually have to interview with a person. And then I put all my stuff in there. And once this recording is done, I change the date on the note to the date that I actually want to publish this episode, so that I have automatically a work list of all my episodes in the order that is that is most acute. So the date that is closest and that's not done yet is the first note that becomes visible in this tool to me, so that I can actually work on the thing that is most important to work on at that time. And it also creates a nice backlog based on these dates when these events are actually passed, and it's actually good to scroll back through all the things that I did over the last few months. So agenda.com, it's really great stuff. It's actually an Apple Design Award winner. Check their app out. It's available on the Mac, the iPhone, and the iPad, and it's all syncs together. And I really love their product, and I hope to get one of their creators as a guest on my podcast, actually. So who knows? To actually schedule all the participants or on my podcast, to actually use Calendly. So quite simple, free tier account. People can submit on my agenda if I have like an agreement with them that they want to be on my podcast, so that I can just send them a link and they can choose a time and date that is suitable to them, and that's also suitable to me because I opened up these openings in my agenda so that they can actually schedule themselves. It really takes a lot of hassle out of the whole scheduling across time zones for me. So yeah, that's pretty much most of the software. Of course, I'm using a MacBook M1 with macOS latest version. But that's pretty much given. And some of the other things that I really want to talk about is, just because I really like them, is my trackball and my keyboard and my screen. I'm a Thunderbolt dock. I actually use a Kensington Expert trackball mouse. It's one of the biggest trackballs that you can actually find. It's a 5 centimeter diameter trackball. And yeah, I've started using it. And I must say that since I started using it, my arms feel a lot less tired when doing a lot of mousing. And quite recently, I bought a new mechanical keyboard. I have been using Matthias mechanical keyboards, but I noticed that they were quite loud when doing recordings. And the drawback was that this was like audible in my sessions sometimes. So I went with an IQNIX L80 with Cherry MX Brown switchers. So if you're a keyboard nerd, you know exactly what these switches are. So they're tactile, but they're not really loud. And yeah, I really liked the 80s retro look of this keyboard. Just have a look at their stuff. It's a company based in China. Yeah, but it's a great alternative if you wanna if you're in the market for a keyboard. Also, almost bought one of the Keychron low profile keyboards. I think it was the K3, but in the end, I did choose the Iqnix L80 because I really like the look of it. And in my experience, for me personally, I like to have a keyboard that has a bit more bulky and that forces me to not put my wrists on my desktop. So that's the input peripherals. To connect all of this, I'm using an Otterworld computer Thunderbolt 4 dock, and it's the best thing that I put on my desk in the last year, except for my MacBook. And why is it so convenient? I can just put my MacBook down, plug one cable, and everything is connected and starts working. And it's working really fast, because if I have my SSD connected to my Thunderbolt dock and I need to use it, I just get almost full speed, at least quick enough for me, for my tastes, and it just works great. So to have all this stuff available and to work with it, I'm actually using an LG 27-inch UL 850W screen. So that's a 27-inch 4K Ultra HD IPS LED monitor. So it's not one of these big, huge, curvy things, because I had some restraints on my desk size. So I had to, of course, get a monitor that is like suitable for the situation. And it's just having a 27-inch screen compared to a 13-inch MacBook screen. It's a lot of real estate, and especially when doing the audio editing, it really helps that I can just stretch out my my audio lines quite wide. So let's see. Yeah, then there's like the recording hardware. Of course, I have a microphone, headphones, and an audio interface. So what I use for a headphones is Audio-Technica HTH M50X. So that's a studio headphone. It's a closed back headphone, and I really liked the flat profile of the audio. It's a bit bassy to my taste, but I do notice that the reference quality that I get in the audio from this headphones is good enough for what I need to do. I have it attached to an Audient Evo 4 dual USB interface. So it's a USB-C interface that I can attach to microphones to through an, I think it's called XDR, you know, these 3 feet bulky cables that you can use with microphones. And yeah, I went with that. I went with an audio interface because I could choose between having something that is like a little bit more future-proof, or get an XDR USB combo microphone. And yeah, it's probably a bit of my nerd strike that went ahead and took the best of me. So I spent a little bit on this interface. It's like in the €100, $100 range. And I must say that the audio is great, and the background noise is really low. So that's one of the reasons that I picked this one, because it had very good reviews on the audio quality and the level of background noise that was within this device. And then for the microphone, I have a Samsung Q7 vocal microphone. It's not the most expensive microphone that I bought. That is available. But I went with the Q7 because it's a dynamic microphone. So I have to really be in front of the microphone to be able to detect my audio. And why do I want to have this? I'm in a home situation in my home office, and there's a street nearby, and I don't want to pick up too much of this background noise, and I don't want to have too much of these room echoes going into the microphone. And then having a dynamic microphone, not a condenser microphone, is a great opportunity, is a great choice. You hear a lot of people going with these Yeti microphones, and if you're getting into audio voice recording, I'd recommend staying clear of these Blue Yeti microphones. They're great, but they're so sensitive. They pick up so much background noise, and that's because they're condenser microphones instead of dynamic microphones. It has a wider pickup in the audible spectrum, but if you focus on vocal recordings, then what I understood from everything that I read, it's much better to get a dynamic microphone, because it's much more forgiving in the environment that you have in a home situation. So I think that's the end of my list. Of course, I have some stands and some cables to attach everything together. I didn't went with any crazy cables. I just got like the Amazon Basics or something similar to attach everything together. I did spend a little bit on my cable between my microphone and my interface, but that's just because I want to have a sturdy cable that was like still like 10 euros, not too bad. 10 euros for a single cable, in my mind that's crazy expensive already. And everything else, yeah, because it's digital, it just needs to be connected to work. And why spend like crazy amounts of money on gold-plated things and everything. So yeah, that's it really. If you want to have a look at all the things that I mentioned, have a look at my show notes. I have everything linked there. And I do hope that you check out the clearly marked affiliated links, because they really help me out. Also putting a review on Apple Podcasts or looking into the other option. For instance, my lead developer book, everything is great, and just getting feedback on Twitter is already the best thing that you can do. So thanks for your time, and talk to you again next time. Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. appforce1.net/lead developer. All one word.